Hello and welcome to another episode of Nonprofit Vision. This is your host, Greg Nielsen, President and CEO of Nielsen Training and Consulting, where we work with nonprofit organizations all across the country to translate your vision into reality. I want to welcome everybody back after a bit of a summer break on the podcast. We're thrilled to be back with you with another exciting episode. And just a reminder, if you're enjoying the podcast, remember to hit subscribe or like on your favorite podcast platform so that you're notified immediately the next time a new episode drops. Today's conversation is going to be focused on fundraising and the fundraising profession. And to join us in that conversation, I'm thrilled to welcome Matt Stokes. Matt is the president and founder of Nonprofit Millionaires, comes to us with years of experience in the fundraising profession. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Greg, for having me here. I'm grateful for this opportunity.
It's great to have you joining us, Matt. And for our listeners who may not be familiar with your work, if you could maybe share a brief, a little bit about your background and your work with nonprofits.
Sure. So I started my fundraising career as a student at Oberlin College. I was a co-caller for the Oberlin Annual Fund. So it was my primary responsibility to ask donors to support student scholarships and financial aid. And it was a great opportunity. And because of that opportunity, I have continued in the fundraising field. And currently, I am a president and founder of Nonprofit Millionaires, where I work with small to medium-sized nonprofits to raise money to support their missions, and specifically nonprofits that are focused on youth development and youth workforce development.
Matt, I'm curious because so many people come to fundraising either later in their career or at a different stage in their career. You joined the profession or got your first experience back in college. What were some of your first impressions of fundraising? What it was like to ask people to support, in your case, a university, but you know, for other nonprofits, a mission. What was that experience like for you as you first gained exposure to the profession?
I was very nervous, to be honest. It was my first time asking other people to give money, which was very foreign to me. And the more that I became comfortable with doing that, I became more comfortable with fundraising. And what made that experience such a rich experience for me is because I was a student at Oberlin who benefited from student scholarships and financial aid. So it was a great opportunity to help raise money to support students like me.
Matt, you touch on something that I think sometimes we overlook, and it's that fundraising is essentially like everything else, it's a skill. And the more we do it and the more we practice it, the more comfortable we can get. So whether you're a development director, an executive director, or a volunteer board member, sometimes we overlook the fact that fundraising is a skill and has to be honed and developed just like any of our other skills.
Yes, I would agree. And I would say that, you know, each opportunity that I've had to date, I've learned a lot about honing those fundraising skills on the job with the help of great coaches and mentors.
Matt, you mentioned mentors, and all of us at some point in our career have had coaches or have had mentors that have made a difference in our career. When you were starting out, was there a particular coach or mentor that impacted your career, stoked that fire or that desire to be excellent in what you were doing, which was fundraising?
Yes. You're making me think of a time where I did a fundraising intern in college during one of my winter breaks with Paul Quinn College in Dallas, Texas. And while I was there, I was reporting to someone who was over their fundraising department, and she was my internship supervisor. Her name is Dr. Halima Lee Francis, and she's now at Tulane University. But during that time, she was an amazing mentor and still is. She helped me understand the value that fundraising brings to, you know, colleges and universities nationwide. And that was a very good learning experience for me. I learned a lot and was able to apply some of the skills that I had gained from being a student caller at Oberlin.
And as a As a mentor, what were you looking for from that person? Is it skill building? Is it encouragement? Is it, kind of a motivation? What is from your perspective the value of having a mentor, particularly earlier in your career as a fundraiser?
During that time, I was looking for encouragement. I was seriously exploring if I wanted to have a full-time career in fundraising. And that was a very good experience for me because I felt very encouraged and validated in the work that I was doing.
Matt, when we think about fundraising, and I talk to a lot of boards and a lot of executive directors around the country about fundraising, and people have different, they've had different experiences, some positive, some negative with it. But every fundraiser that I've ever been around at some point or another has that story of really connecting with a donor and helping them to fulfill their charitable wishes or something that was meaningful for them. And that's really the heart of fundraising, is connecting someone's heart with a gift to an organization or institution. Is there a particular experience early in your career that stands out to you in terms of a connection that you made with a donor that benefited the organization or the college?
Yes, that is a great question, Greg. What comes to mind for me is an experience that I had at Berea College in Berea, Kentucky. I was there for close to 4 years, and I served as the administrative services manager for the major and planned giving team. And I had an opportunity earlier on in my career there where I spoke with a donor who was interested in making a first-time gift to the college, and she wanted to know how she could make an impact. She wanted to support some of the institution's neediest students. And she had told me about endowed scholarships that she had set up at other institutions that she didn't want to set up an endowed scholarship with Berea College because she wanted the money that she would give to be used right away. So we worked with her to set up a current use scholarship through the annual fund to support some of the institution's neediest students. And that was a very meaningful experience for her, but it was also a great opportunity for the students who benefited from her generosity. And that experience made me realize why I do the work that I do. It's not just about asking donors for support to advance a mission, but really working with them to figure out what their philanthropic goals are and helping them achieve those goals.
Matt, it's interesting you mentioned that story, and it's such a fulfilling and rewarding story. I often ask fundraisers when I talk to them, what is the most important skill you've picked up along the way, that you've honed along the way? And it's amazing how many times I hear from fundraisers that the most important skill that they've had to develop and work on is the ability to listen, to actively listen to what a potential donor or a donor is telling them. And that really was symbolized in your story as well, of not only sharing information about the college, about the organization, about the need, but also be willing to pause and listen and allow that potential donor to share with you what would be meaningful for him or her.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about how you've developed that ability to listen, because that can be hard for all of us sometimes, particularly when we're passionate about the mission of the organization that we're serving. We want to share a lot of information. How do you develop that discipline of being willing to pause and being willing to listen to the information that you get back from a potential donor?
Something that's been very helpful for me in that regard is listening carefully, listening actively to what a donor is saying, but also listening to what they are not saying, and asking open-ended questions, to get a better understanding of what exactly it is that they're getting at or what exactly it is that they want to do. And that has been very helpful. As far as talking to donors to figure out, what is their aim, like what is their goal? It's just asking open-ended questions to dive deeper into what they're thinking and what their vision is and what their goals are.
That is such important advice for all of us, particularly fundraisers, is the value of open-ended questions. And it brings me back to my background. Matt is I'm a lawyer by background, and I remember in law school, talking through how do you get a witness or how do you get a client to open up and share with you the information that you need to effectively represent them in that. And we talked a lot about the value of open-ended questions as a way to dig deep and allow someone to build that trust with you and open up. So I really like hearing the carryover of open-ended questions to fundraising and nonprofit leadership as well. Matt, you and I have been in nonprofit leadership for a number of years. For those who may be considering a transition right now in their career, maybe they're just starting out, or maybe they're looking at a career transition. What advice would you give to someone who is looking at the fundraising profession now with a fresh lens? What might they expect?
I think they can expect to come into an organization and be wild. I think something that most definitely resonated with me earlier on in my career was stories. Listening to the stories of the people that I was raising money to serve. Those stories were telling, eye-opening, insightful, and I learned a great deal from the people that I was working on behalf of. So that is one thing I know they can most definitely expect with entering the nonprofit space, and they can expect to then become a great storyteller, telling the story of the organizations that they come into. How those stories resonate with the folks that they're in front of, to talk about potentially like supporting those organizations.
Storytelling is so important. And Madam, I hear you correctly that if you were a fundraiser going into a brand new organization, is part of it just listening to what is the history of this organization? What has been its impact on its stakeholders, on its community, on its staff members? How do you get at those stories as a new addition to a team?
I would say being patient and understanding, taking the time to, as you said, like learn the history, learn the mission, learn the vision, learn the values, like talk to the people that you work alongside with, other fundraisers, program staff, like leadership, like understand what the story is, what the outcomes are, like who are you serving? Like understand all of that information because it's going to serve you well when you go out and talk to people about the organization.
And Matt, you've worked in higher education, which can be a challenging fundraising environment. When you're trying to develop that case for support for an organization, particularly when it may be a more difficult ask, there may not be children, or there may not be puppies, or there may not be a museum. How do you develop that compelling case for support when you're going into an organization for the first time?
Developing that compelling case for support is about keeping in mind what people are going to want to see from an organization that they are going to potentially support. So focusing on client testimonials, focusing on outcomes for who you're serving, telling the background story of the organization. And showing impact. I think impact is very important when you're putting a case for support in front of someone to potentially invest in, showing that, this is our organization, this is what we stand for, this is what we represent, and this is the impact that we've made thus far with the investments that have already been made in our mission. And this is where we're headed. And we want to know if this is something that you can see yourself joining in?
Again, we're talking with Matt Stokes, who's the president and founder of Nonprofit Millionaires, an experienced nonprofit fundraising professional. Matt, we talked a little earlier in the episode about mentors and coaches that have had an impact on your career. If you were talking with a new fundraiser, someone who is entering the profession and was asking for your advice, that person's asking for your advice on what do you recommend in order for me to grow a successful career in this profession? What advice would you give to that person?
Oh, I love this question. Thank you for asking it. One of the first things that comes to mind is to build a network. I think that's very important. And I think one of the ways that you can get at building a network is through attending conferences in the fundraising industry that are offered by AFP, Association of Fundraising Professionals, as well as CASE, Council for Support. Council for the Support it's not ringing a bell right now
That's okay. There's a lot out there. So definitely, so reaching out, developing a network. I always tell nonprofit leaders it's also about developing peers that you can trust, right? So it's not just who can help me in my career, but who can I open up to when things are not going well? Who can I share a success with? That peer accountability and that peer relationship is so important in nonprofit leadership. Do you agree, Matt?
Yes, it's very important to have a group of peers who can support you along your fundraising journey. That has been the case for me with every organization that I have worked at, is having that core peer group that was available when I needed to ask questions and address concerns and to think about next steps. And to help me like solve problems at a time.
I think that peer group, that support that you need as a fundraiser is so important. I always tell groups, fundraising is a little bit like sports. It's a little bit like baseball, right? You're going to hear no more often than you hear yes sometimes. You're going to go through slumps. You're going to have periods of time where you may not be as successful as you want to be. And managing failure, understanding that it's not who you are, but it's just something about the process, or something about the period of time in which you're trying to fundraise, or something about the ask is not resonating and being willing to adjust, having to manage those expectations and manage kind of the ups and the downs of the career is really important for fundraising professionals. What do you think, Matt?
Yes, I think that's very important.
So, Matt, you've spent your career in higher education. Higher education comes with its own unique rewards and challenges. Any reflections that you've had from your career on what it's been like to fundraise for institutions of higher education?
Yes, one of the things that I've enjoyed the most is the opportunity to be a specialist. Having the opportunity to pick a specific area of fundraising and to learn and grow in that line of work. And this is something that I've done in the past where I've been able to like be a part of a team specifically at Berea College in Kentucky, where I was a part of the major in planned giving team. And so I got to learn more about like both of those areas, and growing my knowledge of how fundraising works in major giving as well as like plan giving. And it created a very rich experience. And I have colleagues in higher ed who have had the same experience. You know, they've enjoyed growing in the area of corporate and foundation relations, or they've enjoyed growing in the area of annual giving. I have colleagues who have enjoyed growing in the area of prospect development, and learning the ins and outs of those lines of work, creating a richer experience, for them in their fundraising careers.
Matt, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today for this discussion on the fundraising profession and development and the value of mentorship. For those who may want more information or may want to connect with you directly, what is the best way that folks can reach out to you?
They can reach out to me via email at Matt, MATT, at nonprofitmillionaires.com.
Sounds good. Matt, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us. For those who are enjoying the podcast, I encourage you to share it with your friends, your coworkers, your colleagues as we continue to build our nonprofit vision community here. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll be back soon with another episode.